We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Ireland is deciding whether or not to get rid of its woman in the home clause from its constitution. Hello, I'm Leanna Byrne and I'm live in Dublin and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Yes, I'm in the famous Bewley's Cafe in Dublin. It's getting busy here. You might be able to hear some cups and cutlery in the background. And the Irish Women's Liberation Movement actually had its first meeting here. And we thought that was relevant because tomorrow Ireland is going to vote on whether or not to take words out of its constitution that relate to a woman's place as the caregiver in the home. And there's also another vote on broadening the definition of the family. So I spoke to a few people about how they're going to vote.
I do agree that we need to change it, but I don't think that the wording that has been put forward is good enough.
And it's sort of like exchanging one insult for a more mealy-mouthed insult.
Well, yes and yes, because my wife's voting no and no. It's one step at a time. How do you eat a pizza one slice at a time? Make the law, find the problems, and then fix them and fix them and fix them.
Now, let's do some Irish numbers. In Ireland, women make up 98% of full-time carers and about 80% of paid carers. That's according to the National Women's Council. And women's participation in the workforce is at about 60%, below the OECD average of 75%. Now, one of the reasons why the government is suggesting these changes is because the Constitution was written nearly 100 years ago. Today, Ireland appears to be a very equal country. It ranks 9th in the European Gender Equality Index. So I sat down with my mum, Nuala Byrne, and my gran, Mary Flynn, to talk about how women's role in Irish society has changed.
I'm Mary Flynn. I was Mary Breen. But you had to change your name in those days.
Would you have not wanted to change your name?
No, I wouldn't have.
Interesting. What's your name, Mum?
Nuala Byrne. I was Nuala Flynn. I was happy to change my name.
And I'm Leanna Byrne. So three generations of Breen / Flynn / Byrne women, I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you were young, what were the expectations for women?
You got married, had kids, you didn't get any say in anything. When you were married, you had to leave work and you couldn't go back. Things were taken out of your hands, you know. A woman was nothing.
Mum grew up in a different generation.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I started work in 1976 and I was 18. I did go to school until I was 17 when I did my leaving certificate, equivalent to an A-level. I then started work in an insurance company. By 1977, they had to lift the marriage bar. And I actually worked with a woman. She was the first person in the company who left to get married and came back. And I have to say, it was quite controversial, particularly among the men who were complaining bitterly that married women were daring to come back and take the jobs of other men.
Do you ever feel like you were ambitious, but society around you wasn't really letting you be ambitious?
Oh, absolutely. In business, women did not rate, even when I was working. There were no women in the boardroom.
Even when I was in primary school and secondary school, people's mothers, either they were teachers or they worked part-time, but they wouldn't have had a career like yours.
Yes, I would agree. Most of them were still in the traditional professions, that nursing, teaching, as you mentioned. It's interesting, although most librarians are women, most of the heads of libraries were men. Mm. You can see now that lots more women are coming through, and that's a very welcome development. I think that's the difference, perhaps. You, as the third generation, have the opportunities and the expectations.
There definitely isn't the same challenges that you had, Mum. But at the same time, I think then for my generation, it's like, well, you have to be everything.
you have to be top of your career. You also have to have children, and you just have to be superwoman, essentially.
Yes, I think there is an expectation like that. When I was doing it, people looked at me as if to say, well, you should be at home with your daughter. I had little choice, but I was very lucky in that I enjoyed what I did. But it was hard, and the guilt of not being there and then people frowning was there, definitely there.
That was my mum, Nuala Byrne, and my gran, Mary Flynn. Now we're still in Bewley's Tea Rooms in central Dublin, and tomorrow Irish voters will decide whether to make changes to the constitution, including changing the words that refer to a woman's place as the caregiver in the home. And as I mentioned earlier, in Ireland, fewer women are in work or looking for work when you compare it to other high-income economies. So I've been chatting to Niamh O'Reilly, she's founder of the Mammy blog, who says she's the one who does most of the caring at home.
It's a constant juggle. It's not easy. My husband does help out, but he works a more traditional, I suppose, 9 to 5. I'm a freelance writer, so I kind of make my own hours, if you like. But I do still work, you know, but still the lion's share of the care of the children and what I call kind of the invisible mental load of a family. It falls on me, so that's doctor's appointments, vaccinations, birthday parties, uniforms, what kit is brought on the right day to school, all of these little invisible things. You know, it would be nice to see a little bit more balance.
And Niamh also says the high cost of childcare is limiting. It can be as much as $1,300 a month. And then if you are a woman working a business, you've got another set of challenges. I've been having a cup of tea with Rena Maycock, who runs the startup Culture Technologies. And she says it's difficult to get investment.
Well, I started a tech company and I went out looking for funding for developing child protection software, which I assumed everybody would want to back. And I was wrong. Globally, 2% of venture capital funding goes to women founders. Now, in Ireland, we do much better, but there is more to be done. If you want real gender parity in Ireland and you want to hand women economic power, and what better economic power can they have other than owning their own business, then investment strategies with institutional investors need to change.
Rena Maycock there. Then there's the issue of women in leadership. The number on boards is rising in Ireland, but the big increase is down to more non-execs rather than execs. Lorna Conn, CEO of CPL, that's Ireland's largest recruitment consultancy firm, told me getting women in senior roles is just part of good business.
I had a really empowering and encouraging upbringing. My parents were really strong in education.
And you never felt as if you didn't have the same opportunities as your male peers?
I've never personally felt that, and I'm very fortunate to have been in that situation. I do know anecdotally there has been a time where perhaps the perception of my ambition might have been less than the reality because I had just become a new mother. It was when I was working in an organisation and there was an opportunity to relocate to the States. I had just come back from maternity leave on my first child, and I have three young children. And there was possibly a misguided assumption made that that would not have been a good time for me to relocate with a very young family. However, a senior female in the organisation stood up for me and said, look, you'll never know unless you ask. And the opportunity was put in front of me. And within 1 month of time, myself, my family and my young son had relocated to the States. I think the intentions were good, but I don't think an assumption like that would have been made necessarily of a man. Organisations have to understand the barriers that are there, either wittingly or unwittingly, that are preventing women from progressing. The more females that manage to get into those senior leadership roles act as inspiration for the younger generations to feel that they can actually have it all. They can have a family and they can move into those top roles in terms of business. And women comprise 50.44% of the population. So businesses that don't have equal female representation on their senior leadership teams simply aren't driving good businesses.
Lorna Conn, who is CEO of CPL. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service, live from Dublin in Bewley's Cafe. Huge thank you to my producer in the field, James Graham. Back at base, we have Naomi Rainey producing and Joe Critcher editing. And the biggest thank you to Bewley's Cafe for the hospitality and the cakes. I think I'm going to have a nice little cup of tea now. I'm Leanna Byrne. Have a great day and thanks very much for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.